If you don't have, if you have a page, just look at the front page. The other stuff is for homework. We're going to play pretend. I want everyone to pretend that they've never been to a Seder before. Okay? And also want you to pretend you never, that you read Chumash. Two pretends? Okay. And pretend you read Chumash. You're almost in high school, 11th grade. You must have read Shmot. And someone who thought he was God, told you, tell your children the story of the Exodus. Understand the commandment? You read Chumash. You have to tell the story to your children in a short version. They don't have, now, what's their attention span? Very short. I want you to think for a second. Where would be the most logical place to start the story? And where would you end the story? Everyone understand my question? Not based on the Seder you heard since you've been growing up. Pretend you never went to a Seder. But you just read Chumash. And someone told you, tell the story to your children of the Exodus. Where would be the logical place to start? Yeah? Nominees. Which is when? What event is that? Yosef and his brothers. We can start with the musical. That would be good. Okay? Where else can we start from? When Yaakov goes down with his family to Egypt, all 70 of them. Last count. Where else can we start? All logical, yeah? When slavery begins, in the beginning of Sefer Shemot. Everyone have a page? Who's missing a page? Raise your hand. You stand up. And whoever has their hand raised up, you give them a page. Got it? Where else could you start? Wait, where? Stay? Yeah? Oh, you need a sheet. Okay, that's a good reason to raise your hand. You also need sheets? Yeah, okay. Pass these around. Where else would you start from? You start with Avram Avinu going down to Egypt the first time on a trial run. Yeah? Yeah, back, where else? Okay, you know too much? Allah? Okay, we'll stop here. Right, yeah, where else? Okay, we'll get that later on. Where would you end the story? Where would be a look? You could end it with Kriyat Yam Suf. That would be a good place to end. Where else?
When we get to Israel.
There's a Zionist. Keep us through God. Look at that. What should he have said? Where should the story end? Matan Torah. Yeah. And what would you say? Where's the story end?
That's
true. Israel. Okay, got it? No one's got a big Breslov or Kippah?
No.
Where would they end? What's even higher than that?
Mashiach.
Beit HaMikdash. You got it? We could stop. If you were an American who believed in freedom, where does the story end?
When we're free.
If you're Yeshiva Bachar, the story ends at Har Sinai. If you're a Zionist, the story ends in the land of Israel. Got it? Now, enough pretending. Now we're going to flip it around. Pretend you never read Chumash. That's easier. And pretend you were at a Seder. Who's been to a Seder? I've been to a Seder. Okay. Do you remember ever hearing the story at the Seder of how we came out of Egypt? You remember the food. You remember some questions and stuff. You remember being starving. And they're trying to get your attention. But who remembers what we did at the Seder? How do we begin? What? Is halach, maybe halach ma'ani we begin? Right. Do we start with Yosef and his brothers?
Nope.
Do we start with Avadim Ayinu?
Nope.
No.
Okay, we'll see. Okay. It's a little, from what you remember, right, do we talk about Terach?
Nope.
We talk about Lavan?
Yes.
Okay. As you could sort of summarize that, we're all over the place at the Seder. What we're going to do now is we're going to teach you, you're going to know more than your parents. And that's not so terrible, but we'll try. What I want you to do is we're going to go through the Seder real quick. We have about 20 minutes to do this. So we got to do this like the last quarter, 2-minute warning. And no, we're behind 10 points. We got to zoom. Yeah. What we need to do, no timeouts. No, 2 timeouts left. What we need is like this. We're going to go through the Seder. That's why I gave you this page. This page is a 1-page Magid. Something we don't have in our, because we're just flipping pages all day long. We have about 17 different paragraphs, which we're going to refer to. We're going to try and figure out how we tell the story. If something is in Magid, I would expect it to be the story. We're going to take a quick look at each paragraph, and I'm sure you're familiar with all these, and ask ourselves one simple question. Is this the story? If it's a story, what do I find out? How we told the story. If it's not the story, what question do I have asked? What's it doing here? That's it. One final last question in the pregame show. Is it a commandment to tell your children? Is that D'oraita or D'rabbanan? D'oraita. What's the pasuk? Everyone remembers that? Let's try to translate it together. V'igadta levincha, you should tell your child, bayamahu, On what day? That's a good question, what day? It depends on the context. If we had time, how would you figure out what it means? Bayamahu? Okay. You'd have to see the context. You read the psukim. Now the psukim begin. Moshe tells the people the day after they left Egypt. It's the morning after. We just ate some matzah because we took the dough and ran. Take a look later in Perek Yud-Gimel and Shmot. We left Egypt in a rush. We were rushed out. We didn't take food with us. We took dough with us because we weren't ready. We took the dough and we were rushed out. The next morning in Sukkot, our first stop, we had nothing to eat. So we took the dough that we took on our backs and we baked it as matzah. That day, Moshe gathers the people together and says, okay, everybody, Zechor et hayom hazeh, remember this day that you went out of Egypt. What's this day? This day, Tedvav, they went out of Egypt. Right? Because God took you out of Egypt, b'chozek yad, with a strong hand. V'lo yechal chametz. And you can't eat chametz. Does it ring a bell, this psukim? He says, today you're leaving in the spring. When you come to the land of Israel, which we hope to get to, right, next year, had things been good, what would happen? What would happen next? Right? Do this avodah, whatever that avodah is, at this time of year, in the spring. Eat matzah for 7 days. And during those 7 days, what can't you do? Can't see chametz, can't eat chametz, can't own it, chametz. And then, when you're eating matzah, and not having chametz, what do you tell your children? The reason why we're eating matzah, tell your children, ba'avur zeh, what's zeh then? For the sake of this matzah, finish it for me, asah shem li b'tzeiti mi mitzrayim. God did for me all these things, taking me out of Egypt. There's a great machloket, how to understand that. Are we supposed to explain to our children why we're eating matzah? Or why did God take us out of Egypt? What did they tell you? Right? Did anyone explain to you at a Seder why we're eating matzah? Why are we eating matzah? Because it's a poor man's bread? Then why do we eat it at a hotel? If we're poor, why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat matzah on Pesach? Yeah? But we ate matzah, we weren't in the desert yet.
No, but like to show.
To remember what? Didn't your parents tell you why you're eating matzah? Or did they tell you why God took us out of Egypt?
We were.
It's a good question, isn't it? Ask your parents again. But that pasuk, what are we supposed to tell our children? Are we supposed to explain to our children why we're eating matzah? Didn't anyone tell you because we were rushed out and we didn't have time to prepare and things like that? Remember Matzah Zu Ashuma? There's another approach that Rashi and a lot of other great Parshanim say. What's the commandment? Not necessarily to tell our children why we're eating matzah, but to explain to them why God took us out of Egypt. You know what Rashi says you're supposed to explain to your kids? Even Yirtzeh Hashem, you do that one day? Explain to your kids the reason why God took us out of Egypt was in order that we eat matzah. Does that make sense? I'll say that again. But don't be afraid, Rashi says this. And what's amazing, Ebenezer agrees with him. Rashi says, the reason why God took us out of Egypt was in order that we would eat matzah. Not just matzah, and keep another 612 commandments. Sounds a little strange? What we're going to see is how Adamark Rashi is. Because when we remember coming out of Egypt, there's two reasons why we have to remember it. One in English is called Hakara Satov. You've heard that statement before? Who can explain to me what Hakar Satov is? Hakar Satov is? Expression of gratitude. Someone did you a favor. Thank you very much. It's important to express gratitude. God took us out of Egypt. If it wasn't for the fact that God took us out of Egypt, we'd still be slaves. I think we even mumbled something like that, don't we? With the Seder? That's expression of gratitude. What Rashi is saying is more than that. It's to understand why he took us out of Egypt. Why did he take us out of Egypt, according to Rashi? In order to, that's not just eat matzah, but to get the Torah, didn't he? Okay. Was there a reason? How do we remember that every day, that God took us out of Egypt? What do we mumble? Not the whole Shema. What line do we fulfill remembering the command every day? Ani Hashem, no, that's remember all the mitzvot. Ani Hashem Elokechem. Are we remembering that it happened or why it happened? Yeah. Why did it happen? In order to be your God. Where does he become our God? Where do we say he's our God and we're his people? That's the covenant at Har Sinai. That's called Brit Sinai. Understand? We're going to see this now in Haggadah. What are we doing in Haggadah? Are we expressing gratitude or are we recognizing our destiny? Understand the difference? Are we thanking God for that it happened? Hakar Satov, which is very important. Or is there more than that? If it's only remembering the past, it's so 4,000 years ago. What's it mean to us, like little kids today? That's so long ago. So it's nice. You have to be nice. So if it wasn't for them, we'd still be slaves. But you don't buy that, do you? I mean, you say that, but it doesn't mean anything to a teenager. If it's about our future, is a Seder about our past or about our future? If it's recognition of destiny, if we remember the story to remember why it happened, why did God put us into Egypt, and why did he take us out? Oh, that's a different ballgame. It's not that the first part is, it's not that expression of gratitude isn't important, it's very important. But it's even more important, recognition of destiny. Got the idea? So we're going to see what we do with the Seder. First paragraph, Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya? Know what that means? Is there a clock somewhere? Give me a, behind me. Broken, fine. Just show a bit of clock over there so I can watch. Halach. Halach Ma'anya, we don't have time to go into it. But we break the matzah in the beginning, and we say this is the bread that our forefathers ate. But what did they do? Is this an invite? Remember we say kol dichvin, whoever's in need, come and eat. Why can't it be an invite? It's a little too late to invite people, isn't it? We made kiddush already. The table's set. This is not a time to invite. But what we're saying is, when our forefathers ate this matzah in Egypt with the first korban Pesach, what did they say to one another? They invited one another to join. Was there a need to join with one another to bring the korban Pesach? Yeah. Was anyone in shul the Shabbos, Parsha Chodesh? Yeah. You remember what they read about? In the very first korban Pesach, what was necessary to do in preparation? You had to get a group. So they would invite one another. Anyone in need, come. Anyone, kol ditzrich yetev yifsach. Anyone in need, join the korban Pesach. But at that time, they were still in Egypt. What they were hoping, though, hashtahacha, this year we're here in Egypt. Next year, where? We hope to be in the land of Israel. Hashtahavde, now we're still in slavery. Next year, we hope to be b'nei chori. We're courting our forefathers. You follow? But we're not remembering the fact that they just ate matzah back then. When our forefathers ate matzah at the first Seder, where were they looking? To the future. They had hopes one year we're going to be free and free to serve God. And next year, hopefully, we'll be in the land of Israel. Things will go well. So even begin, we're connecting ourselves to the very first Seder. The second paragraph, so we don't have the story, we have a very nice introduction. Manishtana, everyone knows, that's not the story. Everyone knows how many questions in the Manishtana? Oh, come on. How many questions in the Manishtana?
Four or five.
One question. Right? One question with how many proofs? You guys are in yeshiva, don't you? Yes, a question followed by four proofs. It's a question. What's the question? Why are you trying to get my attention? How do I know you're getting my attention? You're doing all these crazy things that we don't do all year long. It's shenat. It's not lama. It's she b'chol halilot. There's every shin there in the beginning is explaining why is this night different. We don't answer the kid how come we're dipping. We're answering the child why this night's different. We answer in paragraph 3. Look in paragraph 3. How do you guys sing it? I'm going to start the song you finish for me. Avadim hayinu. Atata v'nei. Oh, no, wait. There's two different versions. Who sings it this way? Atata v'nei chorin. V'nei chorin. Who sings it that way? Don't be afraid. Nobody? Somebody. Raise your hands. Come on. Right? Yeah? Right? It sounds familiar? But then, Atata b'nei chorin, b'nei chorin.
Yeah.
Which means now we're once slaves, now we're free. Half of you don't sing that for good reason. Because it's not what it says. In the old days, everyone sang it. Little by little, people are catching on. Because the theme of the Seder is not that God took us out of Egypt to be free. God took us out of Egypt to be free to serve God. Notice, we lost an old boss, a tyrant boss, Pharaoh, and now we got a new boss who we'd like to work for. For us, there's a message to mankind about freedom. There's a message to us about servitude to God. What we call in Shema, Kabbalat, O Malchut Shemayim. Now, let's look at paragraph 3 and see if it's a story or not. We say we were once slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and God took us out with an outstretched hand. And if God didn't take us out, we'd still be slaves. Okay? Then we say, Afilu kulanu chachamim. And even if we were all noodle, and we're all nevonim, we're all wise, and hayashir. But kulanu skinim, we're all with beards. And every we know the entire Torah like all your teachers. Mitzvah leinu l'saper b'tzat Mitzrayim v'kol marbe harizem mishubach. And even if you know it all, you're a rabbi. Oh, you teach all day long. And you read the whole book. Even though you know the story, you're still obligated to tell the story. And the more you tell, the better. Is that the story?
No.
What is that? What type of introduction is that?
Right?
What we just read. Is that the story? Does that go for a bedtime story?
No.
No. What is it? Explain. Speak up loud. Lee.
Kind of why we are telling this story.
Yeah. Why are we telling? Why is this story important to us? Step number one, this is expression of gratitude right up front, isn't it? This is Hakaras HaTov. If it wasn't for this story, we'd still be slaves. To a little kid, hey, the story I'm about to tell you, that's really important. If it wasn't for this story, we wouldn't be, we'd still be living in, where? In Elizabeth and not in Peanut. Or, that's not nice. we'd be still living in the slums. We wouldn't be living in such a nice neighborhood. We'd still be that's really not nice. No, okay. I'm just trying to think of, Newark. Okay. There's no Jews left in Newark. If it wasn't for that, now we're thankful to God. If it wasn't for our uncle who gave us a couple $1 million, we'd still be. Understand the idea of Hakaras HaTov? So this story is important to us as kids. Number two, what's the second thing we're saying? Even if what? Even if we know the story, we still have to tell it. Why is that ridiculous? If you know the story, why tell it? Why would I think if you know the story, you wouldn't have to tell it? What's the pasuk that's the chiyuv? The garata? Levincha. Who needs to hear the story? And why does a child need to hear the story? And how about people who know the story? You can go and eat or go learn, do something else better with your time. Why do chazara? You ever had that chazara week stuff? What's the point? I know it already. Why go over it again? What's this introduction telling us? Even though you know the story, and I would think that there's no reason to tell the story again if I know it, and I might think this is just for kids, HaGad is telling us this is also for adults. So far, so good? Now, look at the next paragraph, paragraph 4. Here we have a story. But tell me if this is the story of the Exodus. There's a Maisa. What's a Maisa mean? A story about 5 big rabbis, including Rabbi Akiva. They were gathering in Bnei Brak. And they were up all night telling the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim until one of the students said, came in, hey guys, hi, Rabbeim. No, it's time for Shema in the morning. So it's so late. Enough. Got it? Is that the story of the Exodus? Is it a story?
Yes.
What's he doing here? We're supposed to tell the story of the Exodus. Everyone remembers the story, don't you? From the Seder? Why are we telling this story? Why? Ah, very good. In the previous paragraph, in paragraph 3, we made a statement. We made a halachic definition that what? Who is obligated to tell the story? Not only kids. Because after the Manishtana, we would think the Seder is for children. Now we go and say, you know what? Even though it's for children, it's also for adults. When the rabbis make an halachic statement, they can prove it in one of two ways. One way to prove it is a pasuk. I don't have a pasuk for that. Why? Because the pasuk says, tell your children. What I'd bring a proof from? A story. In Gemara, don't you see that all the time? The Chazal make a statement, and they prove it either with a pasuk shenemar or with a story. Classic. What are we doing in Haggadah? Before we begin to tell the story, we explain who's obligated and why we're obligated. And then we prove it with a story. Now, how do we know that these guys are all Chachamim and Nevonim? What? Because they're living in Bnei Brak? No. What are these people? What kind of Rabbeim are they? High school teachers, yeshiva, what are they? What do we call them in Hebrew? Tanaim. Rabbi Akiva? That's like after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? That's like the time period of Bar Kochva? It's before Rebbe? But these are serious Tanaim. You've heard of Rabbi Akiva, right? And all these guys here. Next paragraph. Remember? No timeouts. Next paragraph. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azari, who was one of the people who was gathering, is having a conversation with his friends. And what's he talking about? He says, you know what? I was studying in yeshiva, and I never understood why we have to mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim every day and every night. I understand every day. Because it says, you have to remember, Kol Yimei Chayecha. But for some reason, there's halach, you have to mention it every day and every night. Until we heard a great word from his friend Ben Zoma. Understand? Is that the story? Why are we quoting this conversation that was in the story that came to prove? You understand what's happening?
To show that everyone can learn something from the Seder, even someone like
But if I quoted their entire conversation, we'd be there for a long time. Well, I'm only quoting one part. Is this a conversation about the mitzvah of the Seder or a different mitzvah? What mitzvah is this talking about? That we fulfill this mitzvah by Shema. There's a mitzvah every day, not to tell the story, but to remember. This is classic yeshivish stuff. There's one mitzvah of Sipur, and there's another mitzvah of Zchira. There's one mitzvah to remember, another mitzvah to tell the story. Which one takes more time? The story. Are the two mitzvot related?
Yes.
Why?
Because when you tell the story, remember.
When I tell the story, then I have a reference point. When I remember, I remember that story. I need to tell the story once a year, so I know when I remember the story what I'm talking about. That's why it's really one long mitzvah. It's a year. It's a mitzvah that's every single day. Once a year, we sort of overdo it. The mitzvah of Zchira, what we're doing in the Seder, we're about to tell the story. We haven't told the story yet, have we? We're about to tell the story. Before we tell the story, we remember this story we're about to tell. We're going to talk about this story every single day and every single night of our lives. So we're getting hyped. We're getting... Who's been to a who's watched like a football game? Right? Is there a pregame show?
Yeah.
They sell pregame shows? Why do they have them? Why do people listen to pregame shows? Why do they have them? People must listen because there's commercials. And people wouldn't pay for commercials if people weren't listening. Why do people listen to pregame shows? It gets them into it. Got the idea? Human nature? We want to get into it. So, I don't know if it works, but that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to get into it. But what haven't we done yet? No story. Paragraph 6. What do we call that paragraph? We call it 6, but what's in there? What number's in there?
4.
4 what? The 4 sons. Everyone knows the 4 sons. They're all in the room here? Correct? All different types? And there's more than 4 sons. But the famous 4 sons. We know them. Is the 4 sons a story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim?
No.
What's he coming to explain to us?
Who you tell the story.
Not who you tell it to, but how to tell the story. Because if I have in my Seder not a bunch of know-it-alls, and not a bunch of, I got all kinds of people at my Seder. How do I make this story meaningful to everybody? You have to be creative and explain the story based on who you're talking to. It's not one of these technicality things, I just got to tell the story, read something out of a text. I have to make this story meaningful for people at different levels. It's the most difficult part of education. And wait till you become parents one day. You have different kids. They all come out different. How to relate to all the children and all the people and everyone gathered, how to relate to them in a way that make it meaningful. Before you do the Seder, you got to think and plan. You have to be creative. And here's an example, a Midrash, that talks about creativity in telling the story. Is that the story? How much time has gone in most Seders? Yeah. And if at your Seder, someone who spent the year in Israel, and they come back with this notebook, with everything they learned about, or that little 8-year-old annoying little brother, right, who learned everything and just can't wait to... Remember? You're in big trouble. Now, let me give you a little word of advice. You can tell your parents. There's nothing so terrible if you discuss the story and all these questions over the meal. What usually happens is, we draw out the Seder, we get to the meal, what do people talk about at the meal?
Mundane
stuff, right? It's over, got out of that one. We're saying, we ate our matzah, we talked about bum, and now let's get on with normal life. Or what people were wearing, if it was a girl's school. It's what they talk about, or talk about sports or politics. The main time you're supposed to tell the story and talk about it is at the Seder. And if one thing you could do, or you can suggest it if you're not running the Seder, is when we get too long, it's getting late, you say, I have a great idea. Let's discuss this at the meal. It's a really good idea, and the meal should be a time to talk. You might not remember, it might not work for you this year, but one day, it's not too long, you can be parents. Faster than you think. So you remember that. Be a little creative, but give out, that's such a good question, talk about it at the meal. Now, back to our Seder. We haven't told the story yet. Paragraph number 7. Who learns Gemara here? Everybody, right? Yeah. Listen. Paragraph 7. I'm going to read it like you guys say. Yochom Erosh Chodesh. What's that mean?
We could have said it.
We could have what?
We would have thought that we could do it.
We could have thought what? We could have thought that our obligation to tell the story began when? On Rosh Chodesh. Why would I think such a thing? How did Moshe begin to say, remember this day that you left Egypt? And today we're leaving in the spring. And when you come in the spring, tell this story. What might I think? Beginning in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I can tell the story. I can fulfill the story today, or 2 days ago. Tamalomar b'yom ha, who? V'gat talvin ha b'yom ha, who? On that day. That day, it must mean daytime. How do we know at night? And we say, bavor, zeh. Zeh is when we're eating matzah and maror the first time. Therefore, when do we tell the story? Even though it says day, it means night. And day and night, the Seder always get mixed up. Is that the story? What are we explaining? You half what's going on in the pregame show? Why? Who? How? When? We're good? How much time has passed? Not in our Seder, in the normal Seder? Is anyone paying attention in the normal Seder? Maybe a couple people. What mitzvah d'oraita haven't we fulfilled yet? That's not so good, is it? It's a d'oraita. Now, paragraph 8. I'll add a bit for you because it's a little long. We make a statement. We say like this. In the beginning, way, way back, our forefathers, like Terach, were idol worshippers. And now God chose us to do what? God brought Avram closer. For what reason? Mitchila, Ovdei Avodah Zarah Yavateinu. Our forefathers were once living in a world of idol worship. And God brought us closer to Him for what purpose? La'avodato, to serve Him. Is that expression of gratitude or recognition of destiny? Well, now we're talking. Now the Seder turned into a Seder for adults. There's a purpose why God took us out of Egypt. Because then we quote from Sefer Yeshua, we don't have time to take the quote, but we prove the point that, because Yeshua tells the people, remember your forefathers were living, Terach was living in the world of Avodah Zarah. God picked Avram Avinu, and then picked Yitzchak and then Yaakov, and gave him this destiny. When I asked the question, where's the story begin? Too many people started giving the right answer. I didn't tell them to be quiet, because I guess you learned this somewhere. Look at paragraph 9. In paragraph 9, we're going to thank God for keeping His promise. What did God promise? Okay. God promised Avram Avinu in a covenant and gave him a get out of jail card. You still play that game?
Yeah.
Or get out of Egypt card. But that get out of Egypt card was not just a one get out of Egypt card. It wasn't only get out of Egypt card, it was also a go into Egypt card. It says go in and come out. You ever notice that? In Brit Bein of Tarim, in fact, flip your page over. And just by accident, there's a page here called Brit Bein of Tarim. See that? Nice big letters. You have to squint your eyes anymore. Everyone see it? Just flip it over. There we go. No, this next page here. Right here. This one, everyone see it? Ba-ba-bum. Brit Bein of Tarim. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I gave it for you so you have a reference page. You can relate to this later on. There's a whole big conversation between God and Avram Avinu. Look at conversation 2. God tells Avram Avinu in conversation 2 in Pasuk Zayin, Ani Hashem asher titichem or kazdim letet lecha ta'aretz hazot l'rishta. God tells Avram, I took you out of Egypt for a good reason. Why? To give you this land as a? To conquer, to be sovereign. What's Avram ask? B'may dad ki ir Hashena. Which, very unclear what that means. In response to Avram's question of what's going to be, God tells him to take these animals, cut them up, which is a ceremony, a covenantal ceremony. But God's answer begins in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Look at God's answer in Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'emer l'Avram, yodoa teda. What's that mean? Okay. What was Avram's question? B'ma'ida. What's God's answer? Yodot. Isn't that the answer in Pasuk Yud Gimel? It's got to be. God's answer to Avram's question is, you should know that the children that I just promised you, they're going to be numerous like the stars in the heaven. You learned this in Chumash, didn't you? Those children and that offspring I promised you, before they get the land of Israel that I promised you, have to go through a whole long process of enslavement and then redemption. It's going to be a 400-year process. But then the nation that's going to enslave them, I'm going to punish. And then they're going to leave with great wealth. It won't happen in your lifetime. It's going to take a long time from now. We have to wait to the Canaanite city, etc. And on that day, God makes a covenant with Avram Avinu. I'm going to make sure that this happens, even though it's going to take hundreds of years. Question.
Isn't Bamida asking for like a sign?
Yeah. No. If we play Jeopardy, if the answer to Bamida is it's going to be a 400-year process of slavery and redemption, and then you get the thing. Avram's question was, when is it going to happen, and how is it going to happen?
So why can't you say that the answer is the cutting up of the?
Because it's a covenant. That's a long share. That's Rabbi Jackie, he knows it. Okay. But some commentators say he's asking for a sign. But why would he need a sign if he's a believer? If you follow the simple meaning, the way most Parshim do it, Avram is asking how and when it's going to happen. He's bewildered. And what's God's answer is a bombshell. When Avram made Aliyah, God promised them, you'll be a great nation, have lots of children. What's God tell them now? What I promised you, not in your lifetime, it's going to take hundreds of years. But for some reason to become God's nation, what do we need to do? We need to first go through suffering, enslavement under somebody else, then through redemption, and then we get the land. That sounds a little difficult. I call this a chutzpah de kesan. You know why? What would the chutzpah de kesan ask? A wise son would ask, a good son would say, you know, what's this mean, what's that mean? What's a chutzpah de kesan ask when he hears this?
What's the point?
Well, now, what's the point? Why am I thanking God for what? For taking me out. Why am I thanking God for the get out of jail card? Why? He put me in. Don't do me any favors. If I got myself stuck in Egypt myself and God saved me, so I owe him gratitude. But if he put me into Egypt to take me out, what would I say? Leave me alone. I have to thank you for that. I have to punch you for that. Unless there was a purpose in going down to Egypt into slavery. When we get the Torah, is our slavery in Egypt ever mentioned in any of the mitzvot? Are there any mitzvot that tag along with that mitzvah? Remember you were a slave in Egypt? Remember, yeah? How many? About 20-some. It says, be nice to the stranger, the widow, the orphan. Remember? You were a stranger in Egypt. Be nice to the, when you have a slave, be kind to him. Take care of him. Remember, you were once a slave. When you're gathering your harvest, right? Don't cheat a stranger. They cheated you. When you were in Egypt under someone else's sovereignty, that sovereign power, they mistreated migrants terribly. They mistreated people who it's easy to take advantage of. When you become a nation, you remember that experience, and don't you dare do that to anybody else. In fact, you're going to be a model nation for other nations to learn from. If that's why God put us into Egypt and put us through that experience, is that expression of gratitude or recognition of destiny?
Recognition of destiny.
That's got to be, isn't it? If God put us through that difficult experience, Moshe Rabbeinu calls it a kuhar barzel. Moshe Rabbeinu in Dvarim, when he gives the story, tells them that going through Egypt, Amis are going through this process of going through Egypt and coming out of Egypt, was like making the strongest metal. You have to put it through a fiery furnace and burn it and beat it, and then it gets stronger, and it can last for a long time. If going through that process of slavery and redemption was in order to sensitize the generation coming out of Egypt to be kind and nice, so that's good for the first generation. How about future generations? How are they going to know to be sensitive and kind and remember all these things? There's two ways we can do it. What could God do? What's the hard way? Do it again. Or there's an easy option, which is what?
Remember it.
Make a big deal about it once a year and feel as though what? Pretend that you were there. Do we ever say that at the Seder? That every generation has to feel that they went through it? That's going to be number... Let's go back. That's number 17. Or 16. Remember B'chol Dor V'Dor? Every generation has to feel that way. Now it makes sense? Now you tell me. Is that expression of gratitude or recognition of destiny? If you ever read the Tochacha, what's God say? If you keep my laws and represent me properly and keep all these laws about kindness and benevolence and sensitivity to others, then you can thrive in the land. If you become obnoxious and haughty and you act like the Egyptians did to you, what's going to happen to you people? You're going to get the boot. You'll come back when you learn your lesson. Therefore, every generation has to remember not only that God took us out, but we have to remember why he took us out. Who was the first one to mention that? Remember Rashi? That's exactly how Rashi understands the pasuk. What do you have to tell your children? Not that God took us out, and not why we're eating matzah, but why God took us out of Egypt. And that's what we say every day in Shema. God took us out of Egypt in order to become our God, to teach us a lesson, so that we should never act like that way, because we're a nation representing God. We have tons of laws. But we have to be a model. We have to be the best in our behavior. We have to emulate God in any ways. We learn from our history. We're not prisoners of our history, but we're students of our history. We learn from it. We grow from it. It's so important that every year we make a big deal about it. It's a chiyuv d'oraita, and that's why we tell the story. For sure it's important to give gratitude. But what makes that story, not so 4,000 years ago, but so today and so tomorrow, is the recognition of destiny. We learn from that story, and that story shapes our daily life. That story reminds us how important the mitzvot that we keep are. Now, we're almost done. 2-minute warning in or not? Yeah. 5 minute warning. 4 minutes? 2 minutes. Okay. Paragraph 9. But paragraph 9, we thank God for keeping his promise of Brit Bein HaBetarim. If you know Brit Bein HaBetarim, when you tell this story, if the story is about recognition of destiny, where does the story have to begin? It has to begin with Brit Bein HaBetarim. There's nowhere else it could begin. But was that covenant a one-time covenant for 400 years and over? Or is that covenant going to be forever? And let's say we go to exile again, is God going to bring us back one day? Is God going to watch our history forever? We drink to that at the Seder. We lift up our cups, and what do we say? Vihi? What's Vihi? The promise of Brit Bein HaBetarim was not only for them, Shamda Lavotenu, Velanu. So not only one generation did they try to kill us, but over and over again that happens, and God comes and saves us. Already? Have we told the story yet?
Nope.
But now we know what it's about, why it's so important, and where it should begin from. Paragraph 11. Remember Aramia Vedavi? Teo Lamad? Before we look at that, just go one more page I gave you, the back page. It says Deuteronomy chapter 26. I'm sorry for the English. It should say Sefer Dvarim. But English, Hebrew, what can you do? Okay. There's a mitzvah once a year that every Jew, when we have the land of Israel, and we're back to him again. When we have Yerusha, and the land is ours, we're sovereign, every Jew has to come to the Beit HaMikdash and bring his first fruits, and he's not coming to feed God. And he's not coming to thank God for his first fruits. You know what he's coming to do? He's coming to make a declaration, a proclamation, that he understands why God gave him the land. And what's he saying, Pasuk Gimel? You come to the Kohen and you tell him on that day, what's the word? We have 2 minute extension, right? Yeah. He got it to Hayom Lashem Elokecha. What's he coming to say? I have something to declare. Remember, if he got to Levincha? That where am I? I'm in the land that God gave my forefathers. The Kohen takes it. And then he continues his declaration. What's he saying, Pasuk Hey? V'yaniti v'amati fei Hashem Elokecha, Arami Aved Avi, V'er Mitzrayim, V'er Kashem Mitei Ma'at, V'isham. Read that later on your own. That's the story of the Exodus. Because we're not thanking God for our fruit. We're thanking God for our history. We're remembering that he gave us the land back from the time of Avram Avinu. We're remembering recognition of destiny. As a token of my appreciation for the land, what do I bring? I bring my first fruit. Understand what we need to do every year? Once a year, we have to remember our history, why we were chosen, why God gave us the land. And as an expression of our gratitude, we bring our first fruits. We don't fulfill that mitzvah anymore because we don't have sovereignty in the land. We don't have a Beit HaMikdash. What do the rabbis do in the Mishnah? In the Mishnah, it tells us, how do we tell the story? If you remember the Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim, the 10th parak? V'dorshin me'arami aved avi atzof kol ha'parsha. The mechanism that the Mishnah says, and what we do in our Seder, we take this declaration of Arami aved avi, and instead of just reading the 5 psukim to tell the story, we take every phrase here and we give tons of drashot. Drash after drash after drasha. That's how we tell the story. It's meaningful because now we make that proclamation in a beautiful manner. Now, to conclude, I want you to remember one key point. What I show you, when and where do we fulfill with the Seder, the mitzvah d'oraita v'hagat l'bimcha? In what section? In section 11 and 12. In 11 and 12, I gave you lots of homework here. In section 11 and 12, we take all the psukim from the back page from Arami Aved Avi, and we take a phrase at a time, and we expound upon it. That's how we tell the story. Why is that important to know? Because if I want a machmir and fulfill the mitzvah d'oraita, wouldn't I have to pay most attention to the Seder? In 11 and 12. And from the Seders I remember, and you remember, at this point of the Seder, how many people are paying attention? About close to nobody. And that's why you can point it out at the Seder. Now you guys are big shots, you know more than your parents. That's not nice, but every parent is happy that the children know more than they do. You can have a happier parent when that happens. Afterwards, we thank God. We say it would be enough to say thank you for one thing. We say thank you for all these things. Then we remember our recognition of destiny. Every generation has to feel as though they went out of Egypt. And then the story's over. We say hello. And the Seder's done, and we're done. So we went really fast through that. We covered a lot of material, but hopefully you got the two key points. Number one, the Seder is not only about recognition of expression of gratitude, but more so, recognition of destiny. To remember that he took us out, but why he took us out? That experience builds us as a nation, to need to be sensitive as a Jew, to the needs of others, not to oppress others when you're in power, and to help those who are in need. And number two, the main mitzvah, the way that we fulfill the mitzvah at the Seder, is through Arami Aved Avi, expounding upon that for homework. You go through all the psukim, match it up with your Seder, and you'll begin to understand things a little bit better. Everyone have a Shana Tova, a Chodesh Tov, and a Chag Kasher Sameach.